Let's pray one more time. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now as we go to your word that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, so often, Lord, we allow the power of your word to just kind of fly by. Help us, Lord, to take every thought captive, Lord, to the obedience of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me encourage you, if you'd like one, there's some practical application questions. They're always provided for the sermons. They're out on the information table. You can grab one of those. Today we'll be talking about the issue of time. Actually, we're going to be finishing up the book of Ephesians and kind of hearkening back to a verse it talked about that we didn't really spend a lot of time on. I did comment on it when we passed by it, but we want to go back to it. Dealing with the issue of time today. I think in the history of mankind, there's very few things that have been more significant as far as issues on people's minds, and that's the issue of time. If you go back in the study of ancient history, some of the very first things created by man were calendars. I've often wondered if I would, even if I've been here in Kelseyville, there's certain times of the year, I remember, during the summer solstice, of where did the sun rise on the horizon on that day? And where did it set? But what about on the 21st of December in the winter equinox or whatever, solstice or equinox, where did it go there? And I guarantee you that the people who used to live here hundreds and hundreds of years ago, they knew those places. In fact, they would erect stones and stuff just to make sure, boy, okay, that's the longest day and this is the shortest day. Things like Stonehenge and pyramids and things like that. Why? Because people, they wanted to know more about time. In fact, some people actually worshipped time. The year 200 BC, Plautus, a Roman playwright, scorned the invention of the sundial. Here's what he said. The gods confound the man who first found how to distinguish hours. Confound him, too, who in this place set up a sundial to cut and hack my days so wretchedly into small portions. So somehow, 200 BC, a Roman playwright says, curse the man who made the sundial because it's hacking up my day. Mechanical clocks came into being about 1200. You would have villages that would spend a lot of money and they would get their own clock tower, and those clocks would be bells that would go off to tell you when to wake up, when to pray, when to come to church, when to go home. And that seems like a great convenience. In fact, we wouldn't know life without it. Growing up in Ukiah at noontime at the fire station, they always had the air raid siren go off every noontime. At 5 o'clock in the afternoons, my grandmother would go to the Methodist church, sit at the organ, and play on the chimes, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Time. It's about time. I think it's something that we're obsessed with. It's very, very interesting looking at the issue of the Industrial Revolution and how people, and I don't wonder what they do with all their time. There was no television. There were no books. There were no movies. There was nothing. So when the sun set, they just sat around, telling stories, getting to know each other. Finally, people began to work, and they'd be in factories. And somebody then invented, boy, let's invent the light bulb, And so when Edison invented the light bulb in 1879, things changed. Now people could have the night shift. How many of you have ever been on a night shift? Isn't that fun? All right? Kind of flips your whole life around. We get into the computer age with these nanoseconds, the speed of computers speeding up. I used to remember the first time I had a computer, you'd get on the phone, you'd dial up. Take moments, minutes. You'd be so excited. And now, if it takes more than a second, I get frustrated. An issue of time. I often have wondered if Jesus had a calendar, would he have used it? You think Jesus would have used a beeper? You think Jesus would have had a MySpace or Facebook? You know, I kind of like those things, sometimes yes and sometimes no, because as soon as you have like a Facebook, for those who don't know what that is, it's a social networking site on the internet. You put a profile and friends can go there and talk to each other. But here's what I feel that it is a lot of times. It's a waste of my time. Why? Because I'm giving people access. Not any of you, because you're my friends. But people who I do not know and don't really care to know, I don't have time to know, I'm giving them access to what? My time. So-and-so would like to add you to their list. I don't even know who they are. So it takes me time to say no. All right? So-and-so has just thrown a pie in your face. What? You know, and it's all this stuff because, and I realize in my life, nearly at age 52, the most precious commodity is time. Some myths regarding time. Came a guy named Kevin Howard in his book called Busyness in the Service of Our King. First fallacy. Boy, if I only had more time. Here's what he says. God has given us all the time we need to do His will in His way. This type of attitude may indicate that we are either in areas we never desired or, more often, we're wasting time that He has given to us. So that's the first fallacy, if we only had more time. Next fallacy, if I had the time that someone else had, and I'll pick on Jack, he's sitting right there. Boy, if I only had Jack's time, then I'd have more time. Because he seems to always have time. Now, Jack's probably saying the same about me. The reality is, we all have how much time? It's the same amount of time. Third fallacy, I will make up the time. You can't make it up. It's lost. It goes away. You can't make it up. You will find in a moment here that there's a way you can redeem the time. The Bible says you can redeem it. But the fact is, it's gone. Next fallacy, time is money. Here's what he says about it in his book. Time and money are not synonymous. Lost wealth can be regained. Not so with time. Last fallacy, busyness is next to godliness. Just keep yourself busy. And the Lord will say to us, be still and what? And know that I'm God. You know, the poets have had a field day with the issue of time. I wanted to share a couple here that meant a lot to me over the years. The first one is a song that's recently just kind of made familiar to myself. Clint Black. How many of you like Clint Black? All right. Oh, you know, even know he is? Seen a picture? Okay. Song called No Time to Kill. I won't read the whole thing, just the first stanza. There's no time to kill between grave and the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never going to change the number of your days. The highest cost of living dying, of living's dying, and that's one everyone's paying. So have it spent before you get the bill. There's no time to kill. If I'd known 10 years ago today would be 10 years from now, would we spend tomorrow's yesterdays and make it last somehow? Or lead the cheers in someone else's game and never learn to play? And see the rules of thumb are all the same that measure every day. The grass is green on both sides of the hill and there's no time to kill. Kind of like that. It goes on. It's a pretty deep song. And as many country western songs are. When I was growing up, one of my favorite singing poets was a guy named Jim Croce. He wrote these words. Oh, right here. If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away just to spend it with you. If I could make days last forever and words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure and then again I would spend it with you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I've looked around enough to know that you're the one I want to go through time with. tragedy of this song was what? He died. Just a year after or so, he wrote the song. Friends, we don't know how much time we got. It's a precious commodity, and that's why we want to spend some moments studying what the Lord says about it. The last one is one of my favorite poems. I'm not sure what my favorite. This has got to be my top three favorite poems. It's by Robert Frost. Whose woods they are, I do not know. The house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch the woods fill up with snow. My horse, my little horse, must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near behind, between the woods and the frozen lake, the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake and asks if there is some mistake. The only other sound, the sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep. And miles to go before I sleep. Friends, I read that poem and that's my life. I pause sometimes, I see a beautiful, and I say, boy, I wish I could pause, but man, I have miles to go before I sleep. I got so much to do. I got so much to accomplish. And here's what I believe in the midst of these poems and these songs, is the Lord wants to help us with the use of our time. With the use of our time. Here's the text. Here's what it says. It's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So here's what we're going to do. We're actually going to spend 2 weeks on dealing with time today, this week and next week, okay, 2 weeks. And we want to find out what the Lord would have us. So as we're ending this year and beginning a new year, I think a very significant thing for us to consider, Lord, how can I make the most of my time? Now, you'll notice in this, I want to also read it in the New King James Version because the translation is a little bit different. But it says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And I'll explain why the translators did it that way in a moment. Well, notice in this passage, there's kind of three parts of it. One, there is the issue of movement. We've been talking, this part of Ephesians talks about the Christian walk. Remember, we talked months ago, chapter 4 says, walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Chapter 4, verse 17 says, no longer walk like the Gentiles. You get into chapter 5, it tells us to walk in love, walk as an imitator of Christ. It tells us in 5, verse 8, to walk as children of the light. And it goes on here and says, walk carefully. Walk carefully. So this is, we know that this is involved with the issue of the Christian walk. There's movement in the Christian life. There ought not be a stagnation in your Christian life. It's a movement towards the Lord and with the Lord. Next, there are modifiers within this passage. We have the words careful, wise, making the most of, or in the New King James, redeem. And then we see a motivator, because the days are what? They're evil. So we want to talk about those. First of all, I haven't done PowerPoint for a while, and the reason why is because Jesus didn't use PowerPoint. He did pretty good. At the same time, you should only use it when it actually helps in some way. So if I don't use it all the time, it's because that's my prerogative, okay? And so I'm still trying to sort out what is the best thing for here. And so today, I thought we'll use some pictures, okay? The first thing is this, how to deal with time. Is it walk with your radar on? Okay, that's radar. Okay, radar does this, kind of goes back and forth, goes like that. Here's what it says. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Be careful how you walk. The word careful there in the Greek language, I've shared this before, is the word akrobos, where we get the word acrobat. Okay? To be careful. And it has the word be careful is this whole sense of being alert to what's going on around you. That's why the New King James uses the word circumspect. Now, most of us don't use the word circumspect in our everyday language. Oh, you're being very circumspect today. You know, it doesn't work. But we say, be very careful. And I would say here, the idea is, as we walk through life, we ought to have this radar on, checking things out. I think that radar is prayer, spirit-filled living. We're not just blowing through life. A couple weeks ago, I was picking up some tile from a guy down in San Jose. Rainy night, I turned on talk radio. Actually, I turned on, it was some song, I don't know, came on that I liked. And I was cruising up 880, right through, going past the Oakland Coliseum and downtown Oakland, and I got to get off on the exit to go to, you know, up on 80 and go up that. And I was cruising along and looking at the lights, and all of a sudden there was my exit, just went by. And I'm thinking, did I miss my exit? And the next thing I know it, I'm on the toll plaza of the Bay Bridge. I'm thinking, okay, well, I could get off on Treasure Island and or Mayor Island, and I could go around that way. And I call up Sue, hey, guess what just happened? I missed it. And then I missed the exit again. I had to go all the way into San Francisco. And I thought, well, it was just, took the scenic route. Blew past it. And here's why. I wasn't paying attention. I was preoccupied. I want to ask you the question. Don't answer out loud. What are you preoccupied with right now? Is it your business or maybe lack of business or your health or lack of health or, 6 months from now this may happen? Boy, you can't afford to do that. Allow, it says, walk carefully, circumspectly. I think, friends, we do that in an attitude of prayer. Oh, Lord, help me not to miss the things you want me to miss. Lord, help me not to miss the beauty of the day. I was driving over, and the fog didn't hit until I got over here. It was going through Highway 20 there before you get to the county line, and the oak trees are quite beautiful right now because they have all that the Spanish moss on it. It looks almost like it's almost like they're on fire. It's just like a green, light green light. And the fog was there and it was fresh from the rain. It was beautiful. And how many times we just blow by and we don't say to the Lord, boy, thank you for that. Thank you for that sunset or sunrise. Your child smiles at you, or you say, and we ought to be thankful. So let's have that radar on. We can't afford to be on cruise control. The next thing, how to deal with time, is to walk with a compass. Compass helps us walk directionally, purposely. I believe the Word of God is our compass, but it tells me here to walk carefully, not as unwise, but as wise. I had to walk as a wise person. Walk as a wise person. Well, that's extremely important. So how would I do that? Well, here's what it says. Psalm 41:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. So if I'm going to be a wise person, I do just the opposite. The fool says there is no God. I had to say, Lord, there is a God. And Lord, you have everything to do with everything. Titus 3:3, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living on in malice and envy, hating one another. Well, I had to walk just the opposite of that. Lord, help me to love people, not be deceitful, not be filled with lust. Realize wisdom is being aware of God's purposes in my work, school, extracurricular activities, whatever it may be. The Lord says, walk as a wise person. Walk in a worthy manner. That's where when we go to Ephesians 4:1, it says, walk in a worthy manner. Here's what it says. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you, walk in a manner worthy of the calling which we've been called. Walk with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, and being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So here we have in Scripture saying, here's the compass. Here's how you ought to walk. Walk carefully, have the radar on, but also walk with a compass by walking wisely. And how do we find wisdom? We find it right here. Oh, Lord, what should I do? It's right here. You know, when all else fails, let's follow the directions. I also believe that walking purposely and wisely is something that I need to do before those who don't know the Lord. You know, we never know who's watching our life. You know, if you're a natural leader, and many of you are, all you got to do is tell people, follow me, and they'll do it. They'll follow you right off a cliff because you're confident. I mean, you can tell someone. They can come and say, hey, listen, what's the quickest way to get to Cobb Mountain? And you can say, well, you go through Clear Lake Oaks, you know. And they'll go, oh, okay. You know, the fact is that there's people watching, and there's people who are lost, and we need to walk in a manner worthy. Acts 24:6. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. 2 Corinthians 1:12. For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we have conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity. You know, that's for this year. The determination, I'm going to walk with that radar on. I'm going to walk circumspectly. I'm going to walk with my eyes, spiritual eyes wide open. But I'm also going to walk wisely because I'm going to walk according to the Word. And I'm going to walk wisely before people. You never know who's watching. The next meaning to walk is walk with a calendar. Walk with a calendar. It says this, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. Now, interesting there, the New King James says redeeming your time, and the reason why is the Greek word exagorazo, which means making the most of or to purchase something in full, okay? So don't let your time go away, but purchase it, use it to its fullest value. That's what it's saying here. Making the most of your time. And so I know this for myself, is that the only way for myself to do that is I have to do things with a calendar now. I have a friend of mine, his name is Marvin. We worked together in youth ministry in Modesto a lifetime ago. And a friend of mine, Rich Frazier, who's been here, he's the president of SOS, Spiritual Offers Overseas Services, would like my friend, somebody to go to Trinidad to teach youth ministry development. Well, Marvin's done that on a large scale nationally. And so I want to put these two guys together. But Marvin and I, we used to be best buds hanging out together. But, you know, life is just, you know, life and time are difficult. And we began to talk this week saying, boy, we got to get together. And you know what I've learned? Those are empty words. You know why? Because I didn't put it on the calendar. Now, in my life now, if I put it on the calendar, it's going to happen probably. Because I have people to remind me. Gary, that's on the calendar. Oh, okay. You know. In fact, if you came up to me after the service, Pastor, I'd like to get together with you, I would probably say, call the office so they can put it on the calendar. Or I'll forget. Now, I believe this. We need to learn to make the most of our time. We need to gain control of the time that God has given us. Psalm 31:15 says, my time, Lord, are in your hands. My time is in your hands. We also need to understand God's design for time. Now, there's two Greek words for time. One is the word chronos, which is the word like chronology, like the hours of the day. And the other one is kairos, which is not the hours, but the seasons of life. Now, interesting here, where it says, making the most of your time, which one is he using there? Chronos or kairos? Is he talking about every moment of the day? No, he's not. He's talking about carols. He's talking about the seasons. Make the most of the seasons of your life. Ah, how many of you are under 30 years of age? Raise your hand. Make the most of this season of your life. How many of you are under 20 years of age? How many of you are under 10 years of age? You know what? Your life's sweet right now, all right? It's pretty, right? Pretty nice, you know? Don't worry about the IRS. You don't even know what that means. That's good. You know, SSI, all these numbers. Enjoy the season of your life as a kid. Don't grow up so quick, okay? Plenty of time to be an adult. All right. You those who are, you know, aren't yet married, or maybe you're never going to get married. That's between you and the Lord. But use the season of your life. Some of you here are in a season of life where it's pretty busy right now. Oh, Lord, help me to redeem that. That's what it says. Redeem the seasons of life. Some of you are in your retirement years. And I praise God that our church isn't filled with people saying, well, here I am, I've reached a certain age, and now I can sit back and let everybody else do everything. That doesn't sound very fun, does it? No. It's a time where you may have time or resources or whatever, or wisdom that God wants to use. Redeem the time and the season of your life. Don't ever think, oh, I can't wait. Oh, when I finally get to this, I'll finally be fulfilled. When I finally get this job, I'll be fulfilled. When I finally have kids, I'll be fulfilled. When I finally have my kids leave, I'll be fulfilled. When I finally, whatever, you know. And the fact is, the Bible tells us clearly, redeem the seasons of our life. Exodus 9:5, then the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. 1 Peter 1:17, and if you call on the Father, you who without partiality judges according to each work, conduct yourselves through the time of your stay here on earth. What word here is time? Is it chronos or keros? It's keros. Conduct yourself in the season of your life while you're on this earth. That's what it says. So I'm not sure what season you're in. Or maybe you're transitioning between seasons. That's all right. But God says, you make the most of it. Redeem it. I believe that God understands how man operates in these seasons. There's a pretty famous verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let me read it. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to shun embrace. A time to search and a time to give up as lost. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. When the Greeks went ahead and translated the Old Testament, had the same two words, chronos, keros, they used keros here. It's the season. There's a season to weep. There's a season to laugh. I'm not sure what you're doing with those seasons right now, but it's my prayer that as we look at this passage in Ephesians, it tells us to be careful. Put that radar on. Prayerful radar. Oh, Lord, help me to use my time. Oh, Lord, I pray in this year to come, help me to be a wise person and not unwise with the use of it. Now, I'm just going to throw it out there. Most of you have, including myself, a television in your home. Maybe you have also a computer in your home. I want you to analyze how much time do you spend with your computer or your television. I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm not the Holy Spirit, but I'm saying this to myself. Is that the best use of my time? Okay? If the average American spends 8 hours a day in front of a television or a computer, is that the best use of your time? You need to ask yourself that question. Ask the Lord that question. You think the Lord will answer it? Yeah, He will. Sure He will. Okay, now we have the last one here. Walk with a cattle prod. I never used one of these. Anyone ever use one? All right. Poor cows, you know. No. They like it, I understand. Why? No, so, and it gives us the motivation. Why do we walk carefully? Why do we walk wisely? Why do we walk in redeeming our time? Why? Because the days are evil. Because the days are evil. We live in a wicked, evil world. And people don't like to know this, but one of the differences in the Christian worldview is this. I don't believe, unfortunately, the world's not going to get better and better and better and better. We're all going to just, love each other. And, you know, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the people are going to choose to not get along. The people are going to choose to tell God, God, we know You're the answer, but we're not going to follow You. That's what the Bible says. And it tells me that the world is going to become even a colder place. It says the love of people will grow what? Cold. Okay? Now, that doesn't have to happen in a church. In fact, it should be just the opposite. This ought to be a place where the love gets broader and lighter and hotter. But we see here, it tells us why to walk carefully. Why to walk wisely. Why to redeem the time? Because the days are evil. The days are evil. One of my heroes in the faith is a guy named Adoniram Judson. Judson, I'll let you know a little bit about his life before I read a quote. This guy had such a burden to reach the masses of India. He says, man, they're locked in this idolatry. I've got to go do something about it, you know. And his life was just passionately towards that. But here's what he said about life, and I'll tell you what happened in the rest of his life. Here's a quote. Oh, not so good. Let's read it together. I'll read it here. A life once spent is irrevocable. It will remain to be contemplated through eternity. The same may be said of each day. When it was once passed, it is gone forever. All the marks which we put upon it, it will exhibit forever. Each day will not only be a witness of our conduct, but will affect our everlasting destiny. How shall we then wish to see each day marked with usefulness? It is too late to mend the days that are past. The future is in our power. Let us then each morning resolve to send the day into eternity in such a garb as we shall wish it to wear forever. And at night, let us reflect that one more day is irrevocably gone, indelibly marked. Judson. Man, those guys could write. You know why? Because they didn't watch TV. They could write. I wake up each day, oh Lord, that this day may be marked for eternity. My life may be marked for eternity. I don't want to have a wasted life. If you're younger than I am, don't waste your life. If you're under 20 and you have your whole life before you, go for it. Make a difference. Make a dent. Here's what Judson did with his life. He goes, man, I want to go to India. So he got married, jumped on a boat, his wife Anne. And they're heading off to India. He gets to India, and they won't let him in. There was a Hindu uprising. They said, get out of here. We don't want any missionaries here. He didn't know what to do. So he goes over to Rangoon, which is in Burma. And they said, yeah, you can come on in here. There was not one known Christian in all of Burma. The year was 1812 to 1813. Not one known Christian. So Judson and his wife set up shop, began telling people about Christ. First year came. How many converts? None. Second year? None. Third year? None. Fourth year? None. About this time, he's getting discouraged. People back home saying, man, what are you doing? Wasting your time. Fifth year? None. Sixth year? One. First convert. First year, first convert. His name was Amung Na. He jotted it down in his journal. Here's what he said. Oh, may it prove to be the beginning of a series of baptisms in Burma Empire, which shall continue to be uninterrupted and successful to the end of the age. One by one, people began to come to Christ. And then he had some drama happen. Someone thought he was a British spy. They grabbed him and threw him in prison. Okay, that doesn't sound... 21 months in prison. His wife having to fight to get him out. And they're in prison. He's leading people to Christ in prison. She finally gets him out. April 12, 1850, he dies at age 62. He spent 38 years of his life in Burma. At the end of his life, there were 210,000 believers in Burma. One out of every 58 Burmans or Burmese was a Christian. Wow. Why? Because you say, you know, Lord, I want to make the most of my time. Now, does that mean we all have to go to Burma? Now it's Myanmar? No. But you know what? Don't you think God wants you to do something? No, that's what we pay the pastor to do. That's the gifts that these Sunday school teachers have. You know, God's given us all gifts. And I don't want you to go have another year of your life where you're saying, you know what? Boy, I just missed it. You know, there's some people who make things happen. There's some people who watch things happen. A whole lot of people say, what happened? This next year, let's redeem our time. Let's put on our radar. Let's take out the compass of the word. Let's take out the calendar and say, Lord, help me to order my days. Help me to redeem my time. You want to get time with one another? You call, hey, let's do it. Okay? And the other one is the cattle prod. If we somehow think the world's going to get better by the Christians who are the light and salt by sitting on the sidelines, it's not going to happen. We need to get serious about the use of our time. Amen? All right. Well, we're going to stand together. We're going to sing Amazing Grace. I got a guitar right here. Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining at the sun.
Heavenly Father, use our lives. Oh Lord, help us to walk carefully, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of our time because the days are evil. Lord, in the past year, Lord, if we've wasted time, I know I have. Forgive me, Father. Lord, help me to learn from that. Precious, precious moments. Lord, that I wouldn't live by the tyranny of the urgent, but an urgency that you give me, Father, to invest my life in the things that are eternal, in loving you and loving people. Lord, help us to redeem the seasons. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.